5, 4, 3. Hello and welcome to All About Symbian's ongoing series of podcasts. It's not an insight today. With the Mobile World Congress going on this week, we're going to see three slightly shorter podcasts covering the announcements and our views of what comes out of the sun-drenched shores at Barcelona. Joining me is Steve Litchfield.
Hello there.
And doing his best to join us as and when will be Rafe Blanford. He's currently on the floor at MWC. There are multiple halls over there that have displays on and press conferences going on as well. So Rafe will drop in as and when, and we'll have a full report from him on next week's Insight. So for the moment, it's just Steve and I going head-to-head like a really bad stand-up show.
And when you say Rafe's on the floor, do you mean prostrate with exhaustion?
Well, it's Monday afternoon now, so probably not. But come Wednesday, I do suspect that a little bit of clinical oxygen will be helpful for the poor chap.
Absolutely.
Right, so Mobile World Congress. First of all, for those of you who aren't aware of it, Steve, sum up MWC in a couple of words.
It's like the biggest phone trade show you could ever imagine, and then multiply it by about five. You can tell the size of it from some of the stand labels. People say things like, "Oh, hi there, Steve. We'd like to come along to our stand. We're in Hall 8, stand 159. And you think, okay, eight halls, each of which has got 200 stands in. That's quite big.
And we have obviously been at other shows. There's been the Symbian smartphone show, Nokia World is one. And of course, Germany has things like Siebel. But this is quite a specialist show because this is where all the mobile companies bring their big guns out.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The budgets this year, as we've discussed in the podcast before, are probably down a little bit from previous years, but it's still a big, big show. And there are a few surprise omissions. I have to say, I'm surprised Apple didn't come along this year. I know they like to have their own events, but this is the number one, the big number one phone show of the year. And Apple now are trying to make a big splash in the world of phones. So I would have thought they would have had a presence here. But apart from that, all of the big guns are here, and we've got major announcements from certainly all the major players in the Symbian ecosystem.
And let's start with one of those. Sony Ericsson on Sunday night, getting it just a little bit ahead of the rush, unveiled their another phone that I will never be able to pronounce, the IDOU. Any takers? Anyway, it is a concept device, they're saying, but they're also saying it's going to be available late in 2009 with a 12.1 megapixel camera, Xenon flash, 69 aspect screen, 3.5 inch diagonal on the touch screen, buttons down the sides, fully touch screen on the front. Not surprisingly, from the press shots, it looks quite a nice phone. But again, Sony Ericsson announcing a phone far in advance of its release at MWC, similar to what they did last year. What do you make on this one then, Steve?
Well, I just like last year where they announced the Windows Mobile-based X1 and everyone raved about it for months after month. Then it finally came out and it was buggy and it's slow and it's still recovering a year later. They're in danger of everyone saying, right, we heard this last year. This is you launch something, you show something that's absolutely fabulous. And then the reality sinks in that it's not quite going to be so fabulous and it will take an awfully long time to get here. Having said that, this is based on Symbian Foundation. There are plenty of Symbian Foundation and S60 fifth edition devices being launched by Nokia and by others, as we'll see in this podcast and later podcasts. So that the basic code is there. It looks from the photos that have been released and from Rafe's hands-on that the IDOU's interface is a custom interface on top of Symbian Foundation on top of S60, and that bit, just like with the X1 last year, might take quite a while to come to maturity and to be fast enough to be used. I have to say that they call it a concept device. It's not actually a concept as in the sense that they haven't built it yet, because there have been videos from the show floor showing it in use in people's hands. It's concept in the sense that it's very early in its development cycle, and also it's also worth knowing that although it's called the IDOU at the moment, it will have a different name, probably a name and numbers by the time it's finally released. I like the look of it. I think there's certainly going down the form factor that seems to be the one of the moment, that the form factor that everyone's heading for, which is a full face touch screen phone with a powerful camera and plenty of multimedia capabilities. So it remains to be seen how this one pans out. I think we're looking at a good 6 to 9 months down the line, though.
And also, Sony Ericsson on Monday morning sort of reiterated their corporate statements with their, we just want to remind everybody that we're about the true fusion of communication and entertainment. One of those press releases that seemed to be put out just to say, we're not dead yet. Three promises they had, which is to bring the best entertainment experiences into one device, to broaden entertainment experiences by allowing smartphones to talk to other things, and we will fuse communication with entertainment by removing barriers and offering unlimited sharing opportunities. I looked at that and went, you're not showing anything else at MWC, and you need to show people that you're not dead yet.
Yeah, although they do get, I deserve credit in my book for managing to steer clear of the rest of the press releases by getting theirs in half a day early. And my only worry there is that there's somebody else will try and get in before Sony Ericsson each year, and someone else will show on the Sunday morning, and then the whole show will gradually get earlier and earlier and earlier. But they've done a good job of separating their content from that of Nokia and Samsung. So for that, I'm grateful.
And Sony Ericsson do have form in this. I remember 2 years ago, the announcement of the W960 Walkman phone that was running UIQ3, that was done on the Thursday or Friday before MWC. So they got one or two news cycles to themselves before everything hit. So there we go. But of course, you mentioned there Samsung and Nokia phones. We'll talk about the Samsung in more detail tomorrow, basically because we're going to keep these ones quite short because we know that a lot of our listeners are out there in Barcelona going out to the parties, doing work and going around all the exhibition halls. But Nokia this morning came out with four phones, even though only two of them were in the press conference, the E75, the E55, 6710 and 6720. All of them maturations on other phones. Is maturations a real word? Maturing design and so on. But all of them quite challenging and bold in their own way.
I would dispute that, actually. I don't think that any of the four that Nokia announced are particularly challenging. They, as with Nokia in recent years, they've got this process of trying out features on one phone just as an incremental improvement and then gradually rolling it across other phones. Each of these phones they've announced has got something interesting about it. The 55, if you'll see from the photographs, readers on the site, has got this new, what they call compact QWERTY keyboard, two letters per key. I'm not entirely convinced by this. Every other device that's had this style of keyboard has failed. I think it's just a step too far. People understand T9 and a normal predictive numeric pad. Then people understand a QWERTY keyboard. I'm not sure they're going to get this two letters per key. It didn't work on the Sony Ericsson P1 and M600, and it hasn't worked particularly well, I would argue, on some of the BlackBerries. The E75's unique feature is that Nokia have finally got a side-sliding QWERTY keyboard. Nokia, rather interestingly, announced it as the N97. And I mean the N95.
The E95 and then the chip phone.
Yeah. Even they were getting confused as to all their different model numbers, and I think that has to rank as the biggest fluff line of the year. But the E75, it does look a nice phone, and it would have looked fabulous a year and a half ago. It just 2009 to have a small quarter VGA screen, a form factor that's been done by Windows Mobile 2 years ago. Yes, it's going to be a nice E-series device. Yes, all the software and services will be up to date, but I just feel they could have done a bit better with the hardware. Do you want to cover the 6710 and 6720?
Yeah, these are the unusual ones. And these are the ones I actually think they're actually showing Nokia in a really good light, because they're just regular numbered phones. They're not an N or an E or whatever. But I mean, looking at the 6710 Navigator, this has got a huge function on a GPS and mapping, but it's a 2.6-inch screen comparable to the N95 8 gigs. It's a 5-megapixel camera. It's carrying both HSDPA and HSUPA along with all the other stuff. This is just a very high-spec phone, and it's coming in at something like €300. Okay, it doesn't have the touchscreen, but, you know, it looks a simple phone. You know, whereas before phone, you know, we've talked previously that S60 phones are starting to look less and less scary to the regular users. And the 6710 Navigator does that exactly. To most people in the store, this is going to look like a GPS or a TomTom in their car with a button. It's just the 6710, I think, just fits in quite nicely. And I love the fact that one of the special features is that navigation is ready to use without a SIM card. And the other device was the 6720. It's being labeled as the 6720 Classic. And it really just looked like your standard phone. It's came with a smaller screen, 2.2-inch QVGA. But again, normal numeric keypad, carries micro SD, sharing is built in. It does have GPS on there as well. And also OVShare and Engage gaming support are being packaged on the device. I can see that one's sort of the one that Nook are going to try to get into the pay-as-you-go market.
Yeah, I have to say the things like the active noise cancellation is innovative, but essentially we're seeing again these what were flagship features all rippling down to the mid-tier, even the low mid-tier. And I think we're getting a bit blasé on the, in tech circles about just whether our phones are exciting or not. But again, if you were to show that spec list with its built-in GPS, the HSUPA, all the sharing facilities, I don't know whether it's got Wi-Fi or not. That's one interesting possible omission. But other than that, it's a stomping spec for a very low price. The other big announcement from this morning, that's the Monday morning, of course, was the announcement of the Nokia Ovi Store, which I know you wrote the news piece on this one. What's the What's the Nokia Ovi Store all about?
I like Novi because you can pronounce that and it's got a good syllable in it. It depends. Let's see, we can look at this a couple of ways. Firstly, there's the cynical way of looking at it. Oh, it's Nokia's version of the App Store that you have on the iPhone. The second way to look at it is it's an obvious progression. This is where Nokia has to go. They have things like Mosh, the Engage Store, the download section. This is taking all the knowledge that they've learned in those sections, rolling it into one product. Then there's the Nokia fanboy way of looking at it, which is this is a location-aware, context-sensitive social network built around buying and distributing not just applications but content and wallpapers and themes and ringtones and everything. And in fact, it is all of these things. It is essentially a storefront on your mobile phone. It's going to debut on the N97 in hardware, and everything else will have a downloadable version. And it just puts it's one place to get content on your phone. And in that sense, it's actually a very good thing. Now, the interesting stuff, of course, will come in the small print of the contract. For example, when announcing it, they said your developer gets 70% cut. On questioning, that's 70% after credit card fees and the operator revenue slice has been taken off. So it's not quite 70% of a £10 ticket item, for example, which is what when you look at something like Apple, 70% is 70% of the retail. So there's going to be a lot of stuff. There's no talk also about what certification Symbian signed, Nokia signed, you know, Java signing for S40 stuff will actually be required in there. And yes, because it takes S40 and S60 and a variety of platforms, even though Nokia push it can address 50 million devices, that's not 50 million devices with one application. So there are some stumbling blocks, but I do like the fact that they've really thought about how you navigate through a large catalogue of applications. And this is something that you, Steve, rightly pointed out to me. By adding in the recommendation engine and also adding in location awareness as part of the recommendation system, they're moving the store away from this sort of flat view list of things you can buy to this sort of we can help you pick and choose, we can suggest other things for you, let us help you through our software catalogue, rather than these are the top 25 applications at the top of the curve, just buy them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that it's a semi-intelligent store. Now, obviously, it depends how it's actually going to be implemented, whether it works like that. But the possibilities are certainly much more a second generation, if you like, compared to the iPhone App Store's first generation, where everything's on a level playing field. Here, there's some kind of intelligence going on as to what gets pointed in your direction. Can I just mention Engage and what are my concerns over what will happen to the Engage system here? Because as I understand it, I mean, from this morning's announcement, games are one of the things you can buy in the Ovi store. Now, does that somehow link in with the Nokia Engage client? Does it subsume the Engage client? Does it make it redundant? There's quite a few question marks still to be resolved in this area.
I mean, I could make some intelligent guesses there. Because the Engage client has many more social functions, for example, chat, new specific scores and so on, I think the Engage client will still be a separate application. It wouldn't surprise me if Engage applications are also offered in the Novi store. I like Novi. I'm going to use that until Rafe tells me to stop. So by Friday, probably. So you will still have that sort of cross-pollution of applications and ideas and OV just leeching back and through. The The big question, and Steve, I know you will love to address this, is Nokia already have the download store in place. And I wonder, are we getting a clean sheet of paper on the Novi store, or are we going to be getting something that's derived from download? And I suspect a lot of people are hoping it's the former and praying it's not the latter. Where do you think we're going to end up there?
I think how this is, first of all, how I would do it. If I were Nokia, I would say, look, forget a user downloadable client initially. I'd say there's no way you could get all hundreds of millions of your S60 users actually proactively going on the web and finding this new Ovi Store client and downloading it. It would just be the geek circles all over again. I would take the download client, and Nokia can point the download client at anything at their server, so people could go on to download on their existing 200 million phones out there, and rather than list the applications, there'll be a big flashing click here to upgrade download to Ovi Store. They click it, and that would then download the Ovi Store client, which would then take the place of download in the menu. Job done. So if I were them, I'd use download as the hook to get into the Ovi Store client. That solves both problems, and it doesn't, people don't have to find out about Ovi Store on the web and then go searching for the right download. That's how I would do it. As to whether they'll be clever enough to do it that way, let's just hope that someone at Nokia is listening to this podcast.
And I'm sure this is a subject that we're going to talk a lot about in depth when we have a full insight after MWC. But of course, it's worth pointing out now that this store is going to be going over multiple territories. It's going to be going over multiple operators, multiple regions. It's not just a one store. It's millions of iterations of stores, depending on your personal circumstances. And I think that's where the big engineering challenge is going to come in. Finally, also worth stressing, it's not going to be available to buy stuff from until early May, and even then, it's only going to be launched in 9 countries at that point in time. So rather like the Nokia Music Store, it's going to slowly go up. We're not going to have one bang, the store is here, and I think that there's going to be a lot of muddled messages over that. Nokia have made a good start here, but they've left a lot of options there for people to beat them up with a stick in the next 3 months. Right then, so that there is a brief look at the first half of the first day of MWC. Obviously, there's been a lot more announcements that have come out. The obvious ones there are the Samsung Omnia HD phone. So we're going to tease you and say that we're going to talk about that tomorrow with our second MWC 2009 podcast. Obviously, we're expecting more announcements from lots of companies. Maybe we'll see some more from the companies that have already been announced. And of course, MWC, we can't talk about that without talking about the rest of the infrastructure. So things like the launch of the Touch 2, things like the Palm Pre are probably going up. And Rafe's going to come back, I'm sure, and give us lots of leads of the stuff that's actually on the show floor in those halls. So there's going to be a lot more to talk about at MWC. Right now, it's not been really surprising yet, has it, Steve?
Not yet. I think the obvious store was the thing that's probably going to keep us awake at night thinking, what if for the immediate future? The actual hardware announced here is very much business as usual, incremental improvements. The one big thing that you haven't actually mentioned by name, but we can mention by name, A, because people won't listen to this till Tuesday morning, and B, because Nokia have actually shown it, pictures of it in a press PDF that they launched today. Was the Nokia N86, which allegedly has 8 megapixel stills capability and Xenon flash. So it's very much a replacement for the venerable N82, but with all the modern Ovi and goodness, and maybe even an OLED screen, I'm hoping. So, but all this will be in the second All About Symbian podcast for Mobile World Congress. So we'll cover that then in detail along with the Omnia HD. Okay, we're all about Symbian.com, in case you hadn't guessed. So do go there for much, much more detail. And the second podcast will be up hopefully by the end of the Tuesday. That's the 17th of February 2009. So it's thank you to Ewan from me. I'm Steve Litchfield, and I'll say goodbye.
And I'm Ewan Spence, and I shall say goodbye as well. And if anybody does see Rafe, tell him to keep up the good work.